Starting a series on, like I said, we've been talking about spa health, and we want to talk about what that looks like when it comes to finances. Now, a number of years ago, my cousins, they went into a business deal. So what they did is they brought a few of the cousins together. We pooled our money together, and we built a townhouse or an apartment complex in Hope. It was a good venture, okay? And we made some money. It was fun, and so that was great. A little while later on, they decided they're going to build another house in Richmond, or purchase a house in Richmond, and it didn't go so well. And I put my coin in there, and I started panicking. How many know that when it comes to finances, panicking is not a good idea? Yeah, no, it's not. But I panicked. Okay, and I said, man, I need my money back. And so I harassed them and harassed them and harassed them until they finally gave my money back. I think one of my cousins still hasn't forgiven me for that period of time. But I thought, you know, when you invest and when you go into business with individuals, it can be a good thing or it could be a very bad thing, if you know what I'm talking about. That's why they say investing with family members is not always the easiest, because then, you know, there's the tension thing and people don't like each other and they scream at each other and all that stuff. And so it can be a very good thing. It can be a very bad thing. But can you imagine if for just a minute that the king of the universe would come up to you and say, I got a business plan I want to talk to you about. I tell you what I'm going to do. I want to bring you on as a business partner. And in it, I want you to know that I will provide all the resources. You just gotta come alongside of me. Now that would be a pretty good gig, huh? If God Himself were to come up to us and say, I have a business plan that I want to outline for you, and it's just a matter of stepping into this business plan and being part of it. Well, the truth is God has a business plan. He has a business plan, and He wants you and I to be part of it. And I want to talk this morning about doing business with God and what it means to actually to have business with the King of the universe. And folks, I think this is pretty exciting, because God has chosen you and I to have this relationship with and to work together in this plan. Let's pray as we get into this. Father, I thank you so much that you have called us to be part of your family, but you've also called us to be part of an opportunity to serve you, to be part of what you are doing right here in this city, what you're doing in our country and in our world. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, as we look into your word this morning, I pray you would help us to assimilate, to take those things, Father, you want us to take and to apply them to our lives. And God, that we would truly make a difference in our world because of what you want to do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. In order for you and I to go into business with God, you've got to understand first and foremost that you're not in charge, that He is. Okay, you get it? It's not you, it's Him. He's in charge, and you got to keep that in mind. There is nothing more frustrating, folks, when you go to an event, when you go to a business, when you go to a home, and you just don't know who's running the show. You know what I'm talking about? And you're walking into this place, and it is out of control. You ever walked into a home where the kids are running wild and you're like, oh, Lord, you know that home. Some of you, I've been in that home, you're saying. But there's got to be somebody in control. There's got to be somebody running the show. And it's important that we understand that if we are going to go into business with God, that you got to understand He is the one that is in charge. He has called you and I to be managers, but He is the one that holds the resources. He is the one that is in control of them, and we better make sure that we keep that in mind at all times. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 89, verse 11, it says this, "The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it." You get it? The heavens are God's. Everything you see around us is God's. The satellites that are circling our planet, they're God's. The grass, the mountains, we sang, how great thou art, that song, when I see the mountains and grandeur, and all, it's all God's. Let's bring it a little closer home. That house of yours, guess what? It's God's. That car that you're driving, that old jalopy, yeah, it's God's. Can I tell you, that boat, give me a minute. That boat that you sold, that we use for fishing, it still is God's, but you should have kept it. No pointing fingers here or anything. Everything you have and everything you see around you belongs to God. You know that paycheck you got this last week? That $5,000 paycheck, they're paying you well. They're paying you really well. And you're bringing it to, you brought it home, you open it up, and you go, okay, how much of this is the Lord's? And you figure it out, and you go, okay, well, let's see, 10% of 5,000, carry the one, $500. Okay, I'm going to bring $500 to the church because that's my tithe. And we're going to talk more about that in the days to come. But can I encourage you? That $5,000, it's all God's. Every part of it. Now, he doesn't demand that you bring every part of it to the church. And we'll talk more about that. He allows us to keep a section. But he is the one that's given you and I the ability to work. And he gives us the right to keep the majority. And I think that's really, really great. But please, don't lose sight of what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It says this, what do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it is not a gift? It's a gift. Everything you have today is a gift from God. And Lord, and folks, we need to be saying, thank you, Lord, for the gifts you've given me. Thank you that you've allowed me to enjoy the many, many gifts. I love what it says in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. It says this, you say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. It is not about your great abilities, though you've got some, but God is the one who's given those abilities to us. And let's never forget who's in control, who's in charge, because God, who has given those abilities to us, is also able to take them from us. So let me ask you something. Who is your owner? Who is the owner of what you have? Do we hold it super duper tight, or do we allow God to be in charge and to be in control of everything that we have? And I'm not just talking finances. I'm talking about what God has called you and I to be part of. Do we keep our time, our resources, everything close to our heart, or do we say, God, what do you want from me? See, because if we're going to go in business with God, and there's nothing more beautiful than that, then we got to understand who is in charge. We also got to understand that he has got expectations. See, here's the thing. God wants you and I to ask. He wants you and I to ask of him, to ask him for blessings, to ask him for provision, to ask him for his involvement in yours and my life. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 5. Verse 14, he says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if what? We ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we ask for. Now, I see a verse like that, and I'm thinking, this is good stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand outside, and I'm going to say, God, let it rain. Not that wet stuff, but just let it rain gold. Come on. It's not happening. Well, the thing is, The truth is, God gives us what we ask for according to His will, what will bless His kingdom. We'll talk about that in a second. And what will honor Him, not what will bring more comfort and more whatever to ourselves. See, remember what James said in James chapter 4. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives. What motives? That you may spend what you get on what? Your own pleasure. See, if we're so focused on ourselves and what we can get for ourselves, instead of, Lord, how can we give to your kingdom? How can we give to helping others? If we become self-consumed, God says, wait a minute. He does bless. He does bless. But He's got expectations from us. And I found a really good formula when it comes to having the right expectations. When we have the right expectations and understand what He wants from us. And it's found in the book of Micah. And see, here's the thing. Back then, in that time, the children of Israel were going through some pretty rotten stuff. They made some bad choices, some bad decisions, and so forth. And God says, I'm going to give you a formula that will help you to be in the right place where you are living out my expectations. And let me give you a little background. Let's jump to Mike. If you got your Bibles, you should be opening him up. Micah chapter 6. And verses 6 and 7 says this. The people are saying to God, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I come, or shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So here's the people, and they're thinking, we've messed up. We've let God down. We've done some bad things. We got to make it up to God somehow. Maybe if we do the right things, maybe if we do a little bit of bargaining with God, then you know what? Then he'll overlook what we've done. So they come and they say, okay, here's what we're going to do, God. We're going to bring some of our best cattle. We'll give you a couple of those. And God's like, yeah, that's not enough. Oh, okay, here's what we're going to do. I remember back in Solomon's time, he did thousands and thousands of sacrifices. So we're going to bring thousands of rams and goats and all that stuff. That'll make you happy. God says, yeah, no, not so much. Okay, well, oil is very important. We're not talking motor oil. We're talking oil cooking and all that stuff. What we'll do is we'll fill the temple. We'll fill the church with oil. It'll be all over the place. We'll bring barrels of this stuff. It'll be worth millions. Come on, God, you'd be happy with that, right? God goes, you're not getting it. All right. Well, what else can we bring? I tell you what, I've got this kid. Wow, God, you can have this one for sure. We'll give you our firstborn. Here, take them. And you do what you want with them and then just kind of overlook our problems, our transgressions. And God says, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. See, it's not about what the stuff we bring to God. It's about the attitude we bring to God, how we approach God. What is our personal heart attitude? Because see, here's the thing. We could be bringing a lot of stuff. We could be filling up the offering plate or doing all sorts of stuff. But if we're doing it just to make ourselves look good, God says that's not good enough. Are you hearing me? He's saying that there has to be the right attitude, and His expectations from us starts with the right attitude. And He says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, something that we've actually sung before, a verse that you should well know very, very well. He says, here's what I expect from you. And this isn't the end all, but this is a synopsis of what He expects, and I believe it's pertinent for us here today as well. Micah 6, verse 8, he says this, He has shown you, O man, O woman, what is good, and what does God expect or require from you? He says, here it is, real simple, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's not rocket science. Act justly, acting before the Lord. It's not putting on some sort of mask and acting a certain way around certain people, you know. Okay, I know it's not the best mask. We went to the dollar store yesterday, try to find a mask. This is all I could find, okay? Some of you are thinking it looks better, just leave it on. No, you look better with that on. No. But it's not acting a certain way around certain people and a different way around other people. What it means is that we are practicing, we're accomplishing, we're performing an important role, and that is a role of justice. It means to act, someone said, act with equity, with fairness, to act in a way that points to some of the, brings out the situations around us where people just need to feel true justice. Let me ask you this. Do we need justice in our world today? Do we need justice in our community? See, how does this relate to us? See, as a church, as a body of believers, our responsibility is to live out, to act in a just manner. When it comes to our community, to see what's going on in our community and say, how can we make a difference? I love what Pastor Nicole is doing with the kids. And last week, she had a meeting regarding what they're calling egg extravaganza, where they're trying to do something to bring in the children. And last week she had a call from Coast Meridian School, from the PAC over Coast Meridian School, and saying, we want to talk to you. And they want us to be involved in some things when it comes to the children. That's where we are acting justly, folks. That's where we're stepping in and saying, how can we make a positive impact in even in a school. I talked last Sunday when it comes to about acting justly to our world. Last Sunday night, I've talked about one of our missionaries. Her name is Kim Hodgkiss. And I love what this gal is doing, and I love the fact that we are involved with her work. Kim works in Honduras. She works with young ladies. What they do is she teaches them and trains them different skills and traits, giving them at the end of their two-year process, she gives them a sewing machine so that they will not find themselves in prostitution, but that they can actually do something to help support them. Folks, that's acting justly. That's us being involved in justice. I love so very, very much the ministry of ICR, International Christian Response, and working with the persecuted church around the world. I get a news feeds quite a lot, daily actually, from around the world. And I read about how in certain Islamic countries, how Christians are being killed and beheaded, and sometimes killed. And the one news feed I got was a young soldier, probably about 12 years old, taking out a Christian because he loved Jesus. We are doing what we can to be involved in bringing justice. And that's what God expects from us. That's why we are here. That's why we do that offering thing. It's how can we invest in justice. He says we need to act justly. Secondly, we need to love. We need to love. What's the highest form of love? Come on, the highest form of love? Agape. I'm hoping that you remember that. Agape. We talked about it for quite an extensive time. It's unconditional, selfless love. And what are we to love? He says we need to love mercy. Love mercy means to show kindness, having genuine pity, being merciful to those around us. Listen, God has shown you and I incredible kindness. Right? He's been incredibly merciful to us and given us so much. And he's asking us to do the same towards someone else. It's really unfortunate when we are being shown mercy and we don't necessarily show it to others. I'll give you an example of someone that's shown mercy. Last week, we had the Garretts with us, and they spent 30 years working in China, and they opened up this coffee shop there in China, and they worked to lovingly care for the people there. And if you remember last week, the Chinese, they totally disregarded, not the Chinese people, but the government, totally disregarded what they did. And of course, they threw him into prison for 2 years. I think of another guy by the name of David Haynes. David Haynes is a British aid worker who was kidnapped in Syria back in 2013. And he was out there doing his very, very best to try to care for the people there. But ISIS didn't like him, wanted to make an example of him. And if you remember, they captured him and then they beheaded him. It seems so very, very unfair that when somebody is shown kindness, that in the end, what they are shown is the exact opposite. Now, how does that apply to us? God has shown you and I kindness. And we need to do the same to others. We need to make it a point to say, God, what can I do to be kind, even to those that are a little bit difficult, that give me a hard time? How can I lovingly show kindness to them? How can I be merciful to those that are hard to show merciful? Well, see, here's the thing. God is asking and demanding that we are merciful to those around us. Remember what Jesus said in the Beatitude in Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the what? Because they will be shown. Yeah. Blessed are those who are merciful, because they will be shown mercy. Listen, Luke chapter 6, verse 36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's you, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, or mercy. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Put it on daily. Lord, how can I be merciful? How can I show mercy to those around us? That's what God expects from us as his people and as his church, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. And that means that we have to daily have an ongoing lifestyle of being humble before God in every single thing that we do. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, folks. To act justly and to love mercy doesn't mean anything unless we have the right heart attitude before God, right? Unless we're doing it for the right reason. Because you can go out and act and love justice, and that's great. Justice is important. We can go out and love and show mercy, and that's super important. But if we're not doing it in the way and saying, God, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to live this out? And if we're not living it out according to what God has called us to do, it's good, but it never has the impact, the spiritual, eternal impact, than when we walk in a way that glorifies him. And I'm wondering if we're living out our lives in a way that truly honors our God and Savior. It tells us here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole world. Can I encourage you that we live up to the expectations that God has for us? Can I encourage you to say, God, show me where I've become self-centered, and help me to get back in line and walk in a way that honors you and doesn't bring attention to myself. That's going into business with God. That's what it's all about. So we have to understand who's in charge. We have to understand his expectations. And lastly, we have to understand that he's got a plan. It's not a haphazard thing. God is not haphazardly saying, I hope this works out and kind of throws a few things here and expects us to pick up his pieces and all. He's got a real plan for your life and for the community around us. His plan is really based on the kingdom, on his kingdom. And let me explain what the kingdom of God, because Jesus talked about that a lot. Let me explain what that is. I said this before. The kingdom of God is the rule of Jesus on this planet. It's him ruling in yours and my life. It's the blessing and the advantages that flows under his rule. It's realizing that we are subjects to that kingdom. You get it? That's what the kingdom's all about. And see, God is about building his kingdom upon this planet. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, how important this is. He says, look, you got to look towards the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of at the end. But make kingdom your number one focus. Make his kingdom your number one focus. See, it's not about you building your kingdom. It's about you building God's kingdom. You know what the best times in my life have been? It's when I've been out there building God's kingdom, doing stuff for God. It has been phenomenal. So, let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, Rudy and Peter took a group and we went down, and there's a few, you know, you see your faces up there. We went down to Mexico. And in 3 days, we put up a house. Let me tell you, if you want a house built, just talk to Rudy. He'll make it happen. You got it up in 3 days. It may not be, you know, like a big, beautiful, you know, 1,800 square foot or 2,800 square foot building, but it'll work. And we put this thing up, and you know what? There's something about handing that key over. Right, Rudy? Come on. When you handed that key over to that family, and you're watching them as you were building, and they're coming by, and they're going, this is gonna be our home. And it was just such a wow experience. That's kingdom building. It's not about building your home, it's about building God's kingdom. It's not about buying the right car, it's about how can we be involved in blessing others around us. So this week we had a great opportunity. I took our students this week and we went to a homeless shelter. And I just want you to know, they do know how to make their own lunches. Larry, they know how. I watched them, okay? And by the way, not only do they know how to make lunches, they also know how to clean. No way. I tell you, it's the truth. I tell you, the Preston family, I watch these girls. Now, this isn't staged at all, okay? Just saying. Not at all. But you know, it's so much fun walking in there. And there's 28 of us walk into this homeless shelter. There's 40 people that are living in this homeless shelter. And be able to walk in there and just say, we're here to help. And we blew them out of the water, actually. It was quite fun to watch, because they're like, oh, wow, there's more coming. Oh, there's. And then afterwards, I digressed here just a bit. Afterwards, we took and we went to Superstore and we bought some food for some different people. And that was really fun, because Superstore was empty. And all of a sudden, you got 28 people walking in. You should have seen the security. It was so much fun watching it. They're like, and they came up to me and says, do we have to be nervous? And I said, no. But you know what? When you start doing things for the kingdom, and you start doing things in a way that encourages and blesses others, there's something that happens. Jesus is all about building his kingdom. Listen, Matthew 24, verse 14 says this, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. He wants us to be kingdom people, folks. He's got a plan for his kingdom. He's got a plan for his church as well. And you know this verse in Matthew 16, verse 18. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not overcome it. God will build his church. With your help or with not your help. I'm glad you're all involved, but he will build your church. You know why we take up the offering on a Sunday morning? We take it up so that we can say, God, how can you build your kingdom, your church, right in this spot so that we can be effective in reaching out to those around us? It's not to pay for my salary. It's good that you helped me with that. Thank you for that. It's not just to put on the lights, although that's important. But we are here to love our kids, to love our teens, our adults, our seniors, to be effective in a plan of reaching out to our community. God is building and he's using this church. He's got a plan and he's got a personal plan for you as well. You all know this verse very, very well. Jeremiah 29:11. God said to the people, now before I read this, and you probably know the history around this, but let me recap it for you. This is not a good time for Israel. It's not a fun time. They have been uprooted. They are in Babylon. Now, if you read through the book of, the entire Bible, Babylon's not a pretty place. God talks about destruction. They're captive there. They're not on some vacation. Okay, they didn't jump in their horses and buggies and say, well, away we go for 2 weeks. No, they've been taken. Their houses have been stripped of anything that's good. Every single one of their possessions are now in the hands of the Babylonians. And they find themselves as prisoners in this land. Not a good place to be. Forced to assume the culture of the Babylonians. It's like being captured by ISIS. You don't want to be there, okay? And God says this to them in the middle of this. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Are you kidding? How can you prosper me in this situation? God, don't you see where I'm at right now? And God says, hang on. I put you there. Hang on. I've got a plan for you there. I've got a future. I'm not there to harm you, but I've got hope for you and I've got a future for you. See, how does that relate to us? Regardless of where you find yourself, if you're saying, God, I want to be in your center, I want to be in business with you, I want to be in partnership with you, then God has got you where he wants you. And God has got a plan for you, and he is not surprised at what the situation is. He's not mad at you, but he is saying to you, I've got you here. Now, you got to prosper there. You got to make this work. You got to do your very, very best. You got to make a difference for the kingdom of God. You've got to do it, make a difference for Christ's sake. See, the truth is, folks, when we surrender to him, everything, we say, God, I'm here. God can use us. And the hardest thing to surrender, you know this, the hardest thing to surrender is that little brown thing you keep in your back pocket, guys. Or that bigger, I don't know why women have this big honking thing, right? Because they take all our money and they fit. That's what it is. They need a bigger wallet than we have. That's what it is. It's being willing to say, God, I surrender even this, because that's the hardest thing you're going to surrender. But see, when you are willing to surrender and say, God, I want even this to be used for your kingdom, I can tell you, God will do some incredible things in you and through you. I'm excited about this month, and especially excited about what we're starting in the months to come, because see, here's what we want to do. We want to start looking at how can we as a church be more involved right here in our community? How can we be more involved in our missions work? How can we make a difference right here at this building? And we're going to start another stewardship campaign looking at opportunities of sowing into our community. And we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come. But can I ask you something here in closing? Are you wanting to go in business with God? I can tell you something. I don't know who you've got as a business partner in your work or whatever, but there's nothing like teaming up with God. Because he's got your back and your front and your side and your up and your down. He's got everything. And he's got the best plan possible for your life. But it's going to take some surrender. And I'm going to call the band up here at this time, and we're going to go into a time of communion in just a second. But I want to ask you this question, and that is, what is your relationship with Jesus like today? And if you're here today and it's just not there at all, and your relationship with Christ is it's shallow, or you've come in here, you go, I don't even know why I'm here. Somebody invited me, but man, I just can't wait for lunch. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, today's the day. Today's the day to say, God, I really want to have that relationship. And if you're here this morning, let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time, folks. You're here this morning and you're saying, I do not have a relationship with Jesus. But I want to start now. I want to make it right with God today. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And if that's you here this morning and you're saying, I know there's things I've done that are wrong. I know that if Jesus were to come back today, and he is going to come back, I don't think I'd be going home. I don't think I'd be going with him. Well, to have that assurance, it starts by saying, Lord, I know there's things I've done wrong. I confess. I accept you into my life, and I want to live a new life in you. And if that's you this morning, you haven't done that, and you want to do this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to give you a Bible later on, but I just want to pray for you. If that's you, can I get you just to raise your hand so I can pray for you? Praise God. If you're here this morning, you've made a relationship with God and you're saying, you know what? I'm not where I should be. There's things I gotta tighten up. I need God's help. I just need prayer. I want to pray for you here this morning as well. And you're saying, you know what? Wes, God knows where I'm at. I just want to be at a better place with him. Can I pray for you? Is there anybody like that here? I just need God. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you. I thank you for these hands that have gone up. Lord, you know our desire is to serve you and to love you and to be faithful to you. But we don't always get it right, God. We sometimes fall short. And for those that have put up their hand, you know where they're at. You know the challenges, the struggles, the stuff that they're facing. I pray in Jesus' name that you would enrich them with your presence. You would encourage them. You would help them to understand how much you love them. And Father, help them to walk and to follow you in a way that truly honors you. God, help us all to realize and remember how important it is to network with you, to be in business with you, and to be submissive to you, whatever that looks like. In each one of our lives. In Jesus' name.